Well, George, here's to the next stage of your career. George.
15 blacks.
This is all rather premature, I'm afraid.
Come on, it's in the bag and you know it.
Oh, no! Damn it to hell!
Oh, good Lord.
The blazes with a lot of you. You can go and rot for all I care. Give me some of that.
Harold. For heaven's sake.
What, keep my voice down? Behave myself? Showing you up, am I, Father?
It's yourself you're showing up. I'm taking you home.
Kindly take your hands off me. I can walk.
And do so. Settle your debts and we'll leave.
Settle my debts?
Come on. We're getting you out of here.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Not a bad night. Oh.
I hear there was trouble.
Young Utwood got a bit drunk.
Did he pay anything off his account?
Oh, what do you think?
I think, Mr. Cutterill, that my patience is running out.
The striking success of Miss Franny Blossom by Bert Cools, with Clive Madison as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson, and featuring Geoffrey Whitehead as Colonel Upwood, Maggie Steed as Mrs. Ricoletti, and Stephen Thorne as Inspector Lestrade. The striking success of Miss Franny Blossom.
Well, sir, are you going to tell me or not?
It's 2,000... near as damn it.
£2,000. And do you owe this to your so-called friends or to the club?
The club. Always play against the house. Better odds. Until they started rigging the games, that is.
You're accusing the Nonpareil Club of rigging the games?
It's true.
Stupid young fool. I hope you've kept this nonsense to yourself. It's bad enough that you owe them money. I suppose you don't have it.
Well, of course I don't. Why do you think I've been trying to win it back?
I might be able to help.
Have you got that sort of money?
I can get it.
Are you certain?
One of the girls heard him.
And just how many people has he said this to?
Not many, she thinks. But he was talking about spreading the word. Something's got to be done.
Good morning, Harold.
Father? Have you, got the money yet?
Not yet. But I said I'd get it, and I shall.
It's taking you long enough.
Be careful, boy. My patience has its limits.
Look at this. From Cutterill.
Tonight?
That's what it says, in full. Can you get it by tonight? What's the time?
1:45. Time for us to go.
Us?
There's something very wrong about all this. I'm coming with you.
He said alone. He meant alone. Give me the bag.
Here.
You sure it's all there?
For heaven's sake, boy, shut it. You don't know who's about this time of night. Now go. I'll wait here for you.
I think I'm old enough to find my own way home, don't you?
Harold.
Sorry. But I have to do this on my own. Please.
Very well. I'll see you at home.
Right. Father, thank you. I mean it.
Oh. Oh, you stupid dog. What's the matter with you? You wake up the ducks. What you got there, Gil? What you found? Angels and ministers of grace defend us.
Colonel Upwood, sir.
What? What? Jenkins?
There's a man downstairs, Colonel.
What? What do you mean, a man? A gentleman?
No, sir. He's from the police. A Mr. Lestrade.
Oh. Yes. That's him.
Thank you, sir. I'm very sorry for your loss.
Sir? Inspector?
Not now, Morley.
It's very important, sir.
Excuse me, Colonel.
Of course, of course.
All right, what is it?
I found this, sir. Just before you arrived.
What do you mean you found it? Where?
In the wound. Push right in.
Show me. Good God above. What sort of lunatic sticks a playing card into a dead man's throat?
The Ace of Spades. The death card.
Colonel, you shouldn't have seen this.
Show me the back. Show me the back, Inspector.
Sir.
The Nonpareil Club.
Right, sir. What's so significant about the Nonpareil Club?
Harold was a member. He received this yesterday morning.
The Nonpareil Club. Make sure it's all there and come alone, Catterall.
He's the manager.
Yes, I know. Looks genuine. I take it this is about a gambling debt.
I'm afraid Harold owed them rather a large sum. That's why he was there, to hand it over.
West Ring Bridge, Hyde Park. 1 o'clock in the morning. Didn't you think that was just a touch unusual?
Of course I did. But you don't argue with a man like Catterall. The Nonpareil Club might be highly respectable, but I wouldn't say the same for the people who run it.
No, Colonel. Neither would I.
We're closed.
Not to me, you're not. Police.
What do you want?
A word with the man in charge.
He's not here. Will I do?
I doubt it. Who are you?
Nicholson, assistant manager.
Then you'll know where I can find Albert Catterall.
I wish I did. It's not the first time he's run off and left me to sort things out for him.
All right, Nicholson, I'll deal with this.
Ma'am?
I do apologise, Mr...
Lestrade, ma'am. Detective Inspector.
Oh, I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, Mr. Lestrade. Nobody told me you were here. My name is Francesca Nicoletti. I own this establishment.
I know who you are, ma'am.
Yes. I imagine you do. Please have a seat, Mr. Lestrade.
No, thank you, ma'am.
Just as you like. Now, Detective Inspector, before you start, please listen to me. Whatever I used to be, I'm now a legitimate businesswoman. Oh, kindly wipe that look off your face. This isn't the 18th century. And I run a legitimate establishment. Do you know why this club is called the Nonpareil?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Because it's exactly that. Without equal. Unique. This establishment has some extremely important and influential members, Mr. Lestrade. Extremely important. I advise you to tread very carefully.
For heaven's sake, girl, what's the matter?
In there, Mr. Jenkins, in there!
Have you been in the master's study?
Blood! There's blood!
Oh, Colonel!
Jenkins!
Dear God!
I'm all right. Send for the police.
The police?
Tell them it's Albert Catterall. And tell them he's dead.
You're very quiet.
Sorry.
You didn't like it?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite as strongly as that.
You didn't like it much?
I'm afraid not. I did enjoy some of it.
Oh, then you're in good company. You're familiar with Rossini.
William Tell Overture.
Yes, the chap. He said that Wagner had magnificent moments but terrible quarters of an hour.
Very perceptive. My choice next week?
That was the arrangement. What's it to be?
Wait and see. Did you know that we're being watched?
We have been ever since we emerged. Ah, now we're being approached.
Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Good evening, Mr.
I'm to give you this.
Well, on whose instructions?
Come back here. Hey! Damn, should I go after him? Holmes, shall I go after him?
No. He's not important.
Who's it from?
A very old friend. Mrs. Ricoletti.
Mr. Holmes. You're looking well.
And so are you. Your recent trip to Paris was enjoyable, I hope.
Still doing the same old tricks, then.
They have their uses.
With some people, perhaps. And you, of course, are Dr. John H. Watson.
At your service, madam.
I wonder if you really mean that.
Enough pleasantries. Why are you here?
You're quite sure you're well enough to talk, Colonel?
I am, Inspector. I've had far worse than this in the field.
Very good. So, this man Catterall came here demanding money.
The money he'd already been given. The gall of the man amazed me.
And you accused him of murdering your son?
He stood there and laughed in my face. Damned villain. Just kept on and on about the money.
And when you insisted that he'd already had it...
He pulled a knife and came at me. I tried to dodge him. I planned to grab his wrist, disarm him and hold him while Jenkins went for the authorities. Not as young as I used to be, I'm afraid.
There was a messy struggle. You were badly injured. And he...
Yes. I don't quite know how it happened. I think I caught him off balance. He fell. He was still holding the knife and... I'm not proud of it, Inspector.
A man has the right to defend himself in his own home, Colonel.
No, that's not the point. I wanted Harold's killer to face a jury. I wanted justice for my son.
You appear to be very well informed about these two killings, Mrs. Ricoletti.
I have my methods, Doctor.
Which clearly extend even to the back door of Scotland Yard. What exactly do you require of me?
I want you to find out what really happened.
You don't accept the official version of events?
Mr. Holmes, Albert Catterall did not murder Harold Upwood.
You know this for a fact?
Just as I know that Catterall didn't send that note, didn't go to Hyde Park, and didn't collect the money.
How do you know this?
The note, because it's preposterous. That's not how we conduct our business. The rest, because I know that he was somewhere else all that night.
Where?
Dr. Watson knows.
Watson?
Well...
Please say it, Doctor. I assure you I shan't be in the least offended.
Well, then, I believe he was with you.
Is that true?
Yes, it is. Very perceptive, Doctor.
You say that Catterall didn't kill the Upwood boy. What about the other business? Why did he attack the Colonel?
I don't believe that he did attack him.
There was no fight.
I didn't say that.
Well, then your contention is that Colonel Upwood somehow lured Catterall to his home, murdered him in cold blood, and then arranged things to look like an accident? Why did he do this?
Because if Catterall had lived, he would have been able to prove that he didn't kill the boy, and then the police would have started looking elsewhere.
You're saying that the Colonel himself, his own son...
I'm saying nothing of the sort. In my position, I can hardly accuse a prominent servant of the Queen of multiple murder.
Not without proof.
Exactly. So, will you take the case? I'm very grateful to you.
Your gratitude is premature.
I don't believe so. Doctor, would you?
Oh, of course.
Thank you. Mr. Holmes?
Mrs. Ricoletti.
I've come to you because I want this done properly. But if you fail, I do have other methods available to me. It would grieve me to have to use them, but I won't hesitate if it proves necessary. You understand me?
Perfectly.
I knew you would. Thank you, Doctor.
And madam?
All right, driver.
Very good, sir. Hop there!
Holmes.
Not here, Doctor. Let's go back inside. You're wondering who she is.
Well, of course I am. But look, it's really none of my business. If you prefer not to tell me...
There's no secret about it. I was once able to do some small service for the late Mr. Ricoletti.
And you met her then?
Yeah, she was plain Franny Blossom in those days. An actress no one had heard of, nor was likely to. Ricoletti was married to a very different class of woman.
Oh, different in what way?
Well, mostly in the way of trying to kill her husband for his money.
Charming.
Well, eventually she gave up trying and went off to find an easier target. She succeeded, too. Bought a rather pleasant seafront hotel in Eastbourne on the proceeds.
Leaving the matrimonial path clear. Had she loved him from afar, Miss Franny Blossom? A hopeless yearning, fulfilled at last?
No, actually, the lady's affections had been directed at someone else. But to put it in your rather overwrought terms, she was doomed to disappointment.
And she married Ricoletti as second best? Oh, that can lead to disaster.
Happily, not in this case. They were one of the most contented couples I've ever known. And two of the most successful criminals.
I knew it. Holmes, how can you justify working for a criminal?
By the fact that she no longer is one. When she was widowed, she inherited her husband's business interests. But without him, her heart wasn't in it. She put the life behind her, and she's been beyond reproach for years.
What about that little farewell speech of hers?
Well, evidently she hasn't thrown away Ricoletti's address book. Get your hat.
Frankly, Mr. Holmes, I wouldn't have thought this was your cup of tea at all. It seems to be a very sordid little affair.
Well, no doubt you're right, Lestrade, but I've been asked to look into it nonetheless.
By the Ricoletti woman, I suppose. Well, I'd advise you to watch yourself with that one. Look at this. Harold Upwood's throat was slit. We found this pushed down inside the wound.
Yes, I know. The ace of spades out of a pack from the Nonpareil Club.
How the devil did you know that? No, never mind. I ought to be used to it by now. The point is, Catterall was planning a repeat performance on the Colonel. This was in one of his pockets.
Another ace of spades?
And from the same source. As far as I'm concerned, Catterall was our murderer, and this is an open and shut case. There's only one more thing to find out.
And what is that?
Whether or not he was working under orders from your client.
What did you find out about our Colonel Upwood?
Oh, he had an outstanding record in his younger days. Several decorations.
Naturally.
The thing's rather flattened out for him. He was taken off active service because of his health and put behind a desk. Happens to a lot of good men.
And presumably some take it better than others. Ring again.
Yes. Oh, this isn't going to be easy, is it? The room's probably been cleaned. There weren't any witnesses. How can you find out if it really was an accident or if it was murder?
I thought I'd ask him.
No, Mr. Holmes, I didn't kill him. You have my word on it. Though things might well have been different if I'd still had my old revolver and a cartridge or two.
It would be wiser not to say that at the inquest, Colonel.
It's the truth, sir. I've never shrunk from it before. I see no reason to start now.
You're in no doubt that Catterall killed your son?
None whatsoever. How much more proof do you need?
Did you know the man yourself?
I'd seen him at the club. Had no direct dealing with him. The police told me he was a shady character. Not that it needed saying, of course. Man was obviously a thug.
How did you come to be a member of the Nonpareil Club, Colonel?
Oh, some of the chaps in the regiment put me onto the place. They serve a first-class port.
And the gambling?
Oh, I enjoy the odd hand. Who doesn't? Can't let it rule your life, though. That's the thing. Pity my son never learned that lesson. Mr. Holmes, do you know if Catterall had any family?
Why do you ask, Colonel?
I was just wondering if the man's father is still alive.
May I inquire why?
I should like to send him my condolences on his loss.
I think this is the place, the southern end of the Western Bridge. Isn't that what Lestrade said? Holmes?
I'm sorry, Doctor. I was thinking about our remarkable Colonel.
Oh, you mean the comment about Catterall's father? Yes, I suppose it was a trifle strange. But it is the decent thing to do.
Yeah.
What, you think it was an act? If it was, it was a damn good one.
Sometimes I think I spend my entire life surrounded by very good actors. Yeah, but I'm falling into your bad habit, my friend. Building theories on sand. Yes, this is the place.
Strange spot for a rendezvous.
And over a murder. There's too many people have trapped across here. Yeah, there's nothing to be read on this page. You know...
What?
I'd rather like a cup of tea.
Could you read anything from the Colonel's study?
Well, I could tell where the body fell. That's about all. You know, you were right. Someone had done an excellent job of cleaning and tidying. No, there was one thing.
What was that?
The view from the window. It was full of interest. I have to see that letter from Catterall.
I thought you'd asked to see it while we were at the yard. Why didn't you?
There was no point.
Of course there was a point.
I didn't have a sample of his writing to compare it with.
Ah.
Well, time to remedy that, I think. I'm going to the Nonpareil Club.
You don't want me to come with you?
No, I have another mission for you. Go down to the police mortuary and see if you can't get a look at the post-mortem reports on Upwood and Catterall. Excuse me.
What do you want?
Nothing that need alarm you.
Mr. Holmes. Sorry, sir. I thought you were another policeman.
That he most certainly is not. Good afternoon, Mr. Holmes.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Ricoletti. I've come to ask for your help.
No. It's a little too public here. We'll go up to my office. You must excuse Mr. Nicholson. That policeman was here again.
Lestrade thinks that Catterall was acting on your orders.
So I discovered.
Was he?
Do you think I've been lying to you? You used to be able to tell. No, Mr. Holmes, he was not. What can I do for you?
Firstly, you can tell me if you had any reason to want Harold Upwood dead.
I? Yes, I'm afraid I did.
Does Lestrade know that?
I told him.
That was wise. If he thinks you're concealing evidence...
He already thinks that. Don't you want to know what my reason was?
The money?
The money was nothing. This was far more serious. Young Upwood somehow got it into his stupid head that my games are fixed. He was threatening to put that word around society. It would have caused a major scandal.
Only if the accusations were true, surely.
Holmes, I have royalty playing here. Even the suggestion of cheating would have been enough. It would have been a major embarrassment for the palace, and I'd have been ruined.
Did Albert Catterall know all this?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Here, Doctor.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Morley.
You do understand about the post-mortem reports?
Oh, if Lestrade says they're confidential, we must respect that, of course.
Thank you, Doctor. This is a good job. I don't want to lose it.
Besides, I believe I found everything I need from the bodies.
I really don't know why you're bothering, Mr. Holmes. I've already compared it to a known sample of Catterall's hand. It's a perfect match.
May I see the envelope?
Yeah, of course, for all the good it'll do you.
Thank you. Delivered by hand.
From the district messenger office in Piccadilly, which Catterall used for all his important post. A rather interesting point, wouldn't you say, Mr. Holmes?
Exceedingly, sir. Thank you, Lestrade. I'm most grateful. May I offer you a word of friendly advice?
Can I stop you?
It'll be Christmas before we know it. Ask Mrs. Lestrade to put a magnifying lens in your stocking. The letters are forgery.
Oh, no, Mr. Holmes. I remember most particular. We simply don't get that class of person in here, you understand. So I remember most particular. Saw the girl from the Nonpareil drop one of her letters in the street, followed her here and handed it in so it could go off safe with the others. Goes to show, doesn't it? Poor, yes. Broken soul, living rough, but honest as the day's long. There's a lesson there, Mr. Holmes.
Tell me. What did this paragon of virtue look like?
Well, to be honest, sir, all I could really swear to was the coat.
The coat?
Had it all wrapped round like a shroud. Ooh, great heavy brown coat, all ripped up and stained with God knows what. Is that any help to you, sir?
Both men were killed with a long-bladed, double-sided knife. It needn't necessarily have been the same weapon, but the odds are very good that it was. Upwood's throat was cut almost from ear to ear. Really savage attack.
And Catterall?
Stabbed to the heart. I say the angle of the thrust was quite consistent with it happening accidentally in a struggle.
Thank you, Doctor.
But, there was one odd thing.
Oh?
This struggle must have been pretty fierce, wouldn't you say? You saw the state that Colonel Upwood was in?
I saw a lot of bandages. I prefer to reserve my judgment about the actual wounds.
Well, this might help you make up your mind. Catterall's body didn't carry any signs of a fight.
None?
No contusions, no abrasions, and apart from that one single fatal wound, no cuts at all.
Fascinating. Excellent work, Watson.
Thank you. How did you get on? Did you look at the note?
Oh, yes.
And was it Catterall's handwriting?
It was superficially similar, but to the trained eye there were at least 11 vital differences. The T's alone were conclusive.
So it was a forgery. Mrs. Ricoletti was telling the truth.
Did you doubt it?
Well, didn't you? You're the one who said that women can never be trusted. What was it? Not even the best of them. And you know what they say. Once a criminal...
They say many things, Doctor. I prefer to rely on facts.
So, if Catterall didn't send the note, who did?
Gentlemen, good evening.
Mrs. Ricoletti.
Well, Mr. Holmes, have you made any progress?
Yes, I have, and now once again I need your help.
With what?
Colonel Upwood told me that he was introduced to this establishment by a group of army friends. Are they here tonight?
Some of them are.
Perhaps you'll be good enough to point them out.
Of course. Are you going to talk to them?
No. The military mind is Watson's territory.
To your success.
I don't like to anticipate the outcome of a case.
Cautious as ever. All right. I'll settle for your very good health.
And yours. Oh, this is excellent.
Oh, I have it imported specially. I got the taste from my late husband.
He did always insist on the very best.
Yes, he did. I'm afraid your Dr. Watson rather disapproves of me.
You know, the good doctor can be somewhat conventional at times.
Do you share his opinion?
Have I given you that impression?
Please, just for once, answer a question without thinking about it first. Do you disapprove of me?
No, I don't.
See? You can do it if you try. Why didn't you keep in touch?
I didn't realize you were expecting me to.
No, I don't suppose you did. Understanding women was never your strong point, was it? Even women on the wrong side of the law.
I thought those days were all behind you.
And so they are. When Alberto died...
I was sorry to hear about that.
But not sorry enough to come to the funeral.
I was out of the country, a murder in France.
And if you'd been here, would you have come?
Yes, I would.
It was a bad time. I could have done with a friend. And now it's happened all over again.
Was he a good man, Catterall?
Yes, he was. Oh, a bit rough around the edges, I grant you. Something of a past. But no violence, and most certainly no murder. I wouldn't have tolerated that.
I know it.
You do? Perhaps you understand me better than I thought.
Perhaps I do.
Will you tell me something?
What?
Back when Alberto and I were in business together, why did you never interfere?
Our paths simply never crossed. I can act only when I'm engaged to do so.
And do you accept every commission which comes your way?
Certainly not. No, one has to be selective.
Ah.
Our lives are defined by our choices, as the old philosopher said.
And sometimes by other people's. Come on, finish your drink and we'll get back downstairs.
Red, gentlemen. 23 red.
Excuse me. Thank you. Holmes.
Oh, anything interesting?
Let's get away from this crowd. Apparently, Colonel Upwood has been dropping hints about some great opportunity coming his way.
What sort of opportunity?
They're not sure, but they know this. It has a royal connection.
Now, what would our ruling family want with a retired army colonel?
It could be some sort of honorary position. Military advisor, perhaps. A tutor. Well, these things do happen. All it takes is a friend in the right place, someone remembering an old favour. Oh, they're highly sought after, too, jobs like that.
Because of the material rewards.
In the Fusiliers, they still talk about Major General Frederick Bellamy Smith. He was made Master of the Sword to one of the more obscure princes. It got him an income for life, a butt of sherry every lady day, and an apartment in Eaton Place.
Upwood's not a wealthy man. Quite the opposite, in fact. But I don't think he'd murder purely for material gain.
It's not just that. These posts are very prestigious. They grant you an entry to the court.
So, our colonel was about to go from obscure and abandoned to having the ear of the highest in the land, except that his son's making a public spectacle of himself and is about to embarrass the crown.
And so he had to die?
Men have been killed for less, Watson, a very great deal less.
Well, perhaps they have, but the man's own son.
Stepson. Stepson.
He wasn't his natural son.
Upwood's first marriage was childless, but his second wife was a widow with a 15-year-old son. The woman died of pneumonia 5 years ago when Harold was 20.
And the boy stayed with his stepfather?
Roof over his head, money on tap, and the colonel tolerated him.
Until the boy's behaviour threatened what he's always wanted. It's not proof, Holmes.
No, it isn't.
And if you're right, I can't see Upwood confessing. How can we prove it? One way or the other.
Short of a witness in the park who saw the murder.
If there had been a witness, Lestrade would have ferreted him out. You know how persistent he is.
It's possible that he didn't look. As far as Lestrade's concerned, that side of the matter's closed. It's Mrs. Ricoletti he's after now.
Inspector, this is harassment, pure and simple.
I just want to ask you a few more questions. Wouldn't you prefer to resume this conversation inside?
No, sir, I would not. And unless you want to hear from my solicitors, I suggest you don't try to force your way into my premises again.
You're not doing yourself any favours, you know.
I don't stand in need of any, sir. Not from the police.
And don't think that Mr. Sherlock Holmes is going to get you out of trouble. Not this time.
Who's dead at this hour? Get that bacon on the plate, girl. You know what he's like if his breakfast's late.
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
We don't give to beggars. Be off with you, woman.
Not a beggar. Got a message.
Keep your distance. That coat's crawling.
Got a message for the colonel.
Well, what is it?
Tell him I sleep under the bridge every night. But I don't sleep well.
Be on your way before I fetch a constable.
He wouldn't want you to do that. Tell him.
Very good. Now, can you entertain yourself today?
We're not working on the case.
There's something I have to check.
And you don't need my help?
Not until later. Just after midnight, your assistance will be vital.
Are you planning something illegal? Not another burglary.
Not burglary, no. At least not by the strict definition of the word. I'll be back tonight.
Come on, then. Show yourself, woman. Show yourself, damn it. Well, if you've something to say, then say it. Very well.
Thank you, Colonel. Exactly the reaction I was hoping for. Drop your knife. What? Very sensible.
What is the meaning of this? What do you want?
I want justice. Mr. Nicholson?
Ma'am?
Blindfold him.
No. Keep away from me.
Well, Colonel, how does it feel to be about to meet your fate?
Oh, for pity's sake, Holmes. Oh, thank God.
Ah, you found something. Yes, I did. Several things, in fact.
Do they prove that he's guilty?
Let's get back to Baker Street. I told you there was no danger of discovery. I spent the day making sure of it. The movements of the servants, the neighbours, the constable on the beat.
You never said anything about a policeman.
Didn't I? Oh, must have slipped my mind.
Surely that's not a visitor at this hour.
No doubt about it. Don't you recognise the coachman?
Good evening, gentlemen. You've met Mr. Nicholson, I believe. And you know the Colonel, of course.
Now, sit there and be quiet.
This is outrageous.
Doctor, the man's a murderer. Look, I've bound and gagged a man before. I know what I'm doing. Thank you, Mr. Nicholson. Beautifully done. Please wait for me downstairs.
You've jeopardized the entire case. This is common assault.
Nonsense. I made a citizen's arrest based on very good evidence. He was going to attack me with this. You were told to be quiet.
Keep still, Upwood.
What are you doing?
I want him to be able to talk. There.
You thugs. I'll see you all in jail for this. Release me at once.
All in good time, Colonel. Perhaps you'd be kind enough to answer one question first.
You're insane, the lot of...
It's a simple enough question. Why is it, when you have an admirably efficient domestic staff, that you've taken to the very odd habit of disposing of your household waste by burying it in your back garden?
I've absolutely no idea what you're talking about, sir.
Oh, I think you have. The patch of newly turned earth was perfectly visible from the French windows in your study, and so were the footsteps leading from them straight to it. An odd starting point for a spot of gardening, don't you agree?
This is arrant nonsense.
If the need ever arises again, I recommend an incinerator, but I suppose that would have excited too much attention.
Mr. Holmes, what exactly did he bury?
Oh, some extremely interesting items. Watson, the sack.
Here. Yeah.
Prosecution exhibit number one. A somewhat disreputable brown overcoat. It bears a curious resemblance to the one worn by the mysterious tramp who obligingly picked up a letter which nobody had dropped.
It's just an old coat. It proves nothing.
Exhibit number two, a handwritten note on the stationery of the Nonpareil Club. A fine example of the late Albert Cattrall's handwriting, perfect for copying.
And before you speak, Colonel, yes, I agree, it proves nothing. A competent defence lawyer would dispose of it in minutes, even in conjunction with your attack on this good lady. These things aren't sufficient to sway a fair-minded British jury.
At last you're speaking sense, Holmes.
But consider exhibit number three, also buried, let us remember, with the rest. Two packs of playing cards from the Nonpareil Club, both of them brand new, freshly unsealed and quite unused, and both of them lacking the ace of spades.
So, another triumph for the great Sherlock Holmes. Another victory to be lauded to the skies and written down in the history books. Be thankful, Mr. Holmes.
For what?
For fame, for prestige, for power, for the fact that you can make a difference in this miserable world, for not having been forgotten.
Well, Mr. Holmes, what can I say? You saved me from making a fool of myself. Even if between the two of you, you and the Rigoletti woman broke half the laws on the statute books tonight.
Oh, nonsense, Lestrade. And that's no way to speak of a respectable lady and a concerned citizen.
I suppose you want me to apologise to her.
I want you to do only what your conscience dictates.
So I hope you understand, ma'am. I had to do my duty. What's past is past, I do accept that, but, well, if you look at it from my point of view...
Inspector, please. There's not a word more to be said. To err is human. And even detectives are allowed to be human sometimes.
Well, in that case, ma'am, I wish you a very good night. Good night to you, Mr. Holmes.
Lestrade.
Good night, Inspector.
And thank you again. Oh, do you know, he's really rather sweet if you look at him in the right light.
The light doesn't exist which could make me describe Lestrade as sweet.
I don't think you've ever thought of anyone as sweet. Not in your entire life. You should unbend a bit, you know. Let that mask slip from time to time. You might actually enjoy it. Thank you for everything you've done.
You took an enormous risk tonight.
It was quite like old times. Even if it was all for nothing. You'd already found proof that he did it.
Well, on the contrary. I had the sack, but I could never have proved that it was the Colonel who buried it. It was only because my evidence came on top of yours that he decided to confess.
So, it took the two of us.
And we achieved the result you wanted.
Justice for Mr. Catterall. I probably shouldn't be saying this in the shadow of Scotland Yard, but when I was standing there with Upwood, and I had my gun in my hand, I don't know why I didn't pull the trigger.
I think you do.
Well, maybe I do. I should go.
A very good night to you, Mrs. Ricoletti.
And to you, Mr. Holmes. You know...
What?
If you do ever feel like a change from dear Dr. Watson...
A change?
Bear in mind that I like opera, too.
Oh, when the stabulary duty's to be done, a policeman's lot is not a happy one, happy one.
Do you know? I rather enjoyed that.
Yes, I thought you might.
Home? Home.
In the striking success of Miss Franny Blossom, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine, and Dr. John Watson by Andrew Sachs. Colonel Upwood was played by Geoffrey Whitehead, Mrs. Ricoletti by Maggie Steed, and Inspector Lestrade by Stephen Thorne. Harold Upwood was played by Scott Brooksbank, Catterall by Philip Fox, Nicholson by John Rowe, and the maid by Alice Hart. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The striking success of Miss Franny Blossom was written by Bert Cools from a reference in the novel The Hound of the Baskervilles by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The director was Patrick Rayner.